And now it's time for more of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. This portion of the show is sponsored in part by Ford, the official truck of Let's Talk Hookup. Shimano Rods and Reels. Fish with the best. Shimano.
And by Yamaha Outboards, official motor sponsor of Let's Talk Hookup.
Here we go. Another great hour of Southern California's sports fishing voice. Let's Talk Hookup. Here's Pete Gray, Rock Cod Rick Mexa, and Corey Standin.
Welcome back. Hour number two, Let's Talk Hookup, coming your way in the mightier 1090 ESPN Radio. What a great time, middle of July, Fisher Biden, to have the boys from Captain's Concept joining us. Captains Matt Brawla and Gavin Harbor, Pacific Queen, San Diego. We're talking all kinds of fishing this morning and talking about this fantastic subscription service that these two guys offer, bringing the best info on the water directly to you.
I know. That's great information this morning. I'm learning, too. And if you want to join us and learn along with us, 213-432-1090 is the telephone number. Again, 213-432-1090. Or you can send us a text via the app. I know there's got at least over 100 texts that have come through
crazy.
And just super crazy. And then we're going to have Gavin flip a coin at the end of the show. Somebody's going fishing on the San Diego. And
come on out.
Out of C4 Sport Fishing. And how we do that is we pick one potential winner from the calling side and one from the texter side, and Gavin will determine with a coin where the San Diego trip's going to.
How tough is it to get on board the San Diego right now? You know, we talked about it. There's times when, you know, we don't get to see an open spot for 6 months, and then there's times when you get to go out the next week. What's the situation like trying to come fishing with Captain Matt Brawler right now?
This time of year, you better make a reservation now.
Yeah. Pick a day, go fishing.
Middle of the week. We're heavily chartered Friday and Saturday. Sundays are kind of open, but Friday, Saturdays are basically booked up the rest of the summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
So pick a day on a Wednesday when you have off that works for your schedule and go fishing.
Hopefully.
You talked about it earlier in the show, I think before we even started, that like don't worry about what we caught yesterday. Don't worry what we're catching. Don't worry what we're catching the afternoon. Just come fishing. There's just so little bearing on what you guys do from one day to the next day as to whether the fish are going to bite or not bite.
Especially this season. It seems like this daytime fishing has just been like we jack them one day and you go the next day and you don't even see them. And it's been all over the place, and there hasn't been much consistent fishing at all this year. So just come.
Yeah, come fishing.
Yeah.
Come hang out.
We get a lot of regular passengers who come every week, and there was one guy in particular, Jim, he hadn't caught a tuna yet all year, and he's been out every week since we started running.
Sure.
And the other day, he's also a subscriber as well, and he's like, I did exactly what you did, and I think he had five or six.
That's awesome.
Yeah, he was getting them.
Oh, that's cool. And how about fishing with you on the Pacific Queen? I know, again, same deal, the Pacific Queen. You guys do such a fantastic job, carry a great amount of passengers, and again, we see the same thing, you know, a boat that was nothing but open party, you run such, your brand of fishing becomes so popular, a lot of charters. How does somebody get to, you know, so he wants to come fishing with you. How does that happen?
We don't have any openings until November. We're sold out or chartered until November. But we have lots of spots in November. We've caught a lot of fish the last few years in November. I
think. Some of the best fishing we've had for the year has been in November.
Yeah, it's nice too because typically in November there's less boats out, so less boat traffic, which is nice. You know, if you're one of the few
and
boats
the
that are. Yeah, a lot of times the weather's really nice. Depending on where we're fishing, you know, it seems like in that time of year we either get like, if, you know, typically we're fishing out west at the Outer Bay. You know, Tanner, Cortez. Typically, it's either like too rough for us even to go out there, or it's like flat calm. You know, so it's we've had some really cool trips that time of year. Also, as far as Pacific Queen goes, we're going to have our schedule up, our open party schedule up pretty soon, probably in the next week or so for
the following season.
Yeah, for next year, which will be just April, May, June, and part of July. But that's like 90% of our open party trips, because typically from about July, middle of July until end of October. We're fully chartered, so if you want to get on an open party trip on the Pacific Queen, you know, you should fish April, May, June. That's when most, you know, probably 80% of our open party trips are available.
And again, I would bet yet again you'll put that info out to your subscribers to Captain's Concepts. If a guy wants to go, you know, hey, we're releasing a schedule on this date. It'll happen around this time. Give yourself a little head start to jump in and grab one of those spots.
Yeah, for sure. Because you know, there's a lot of certain weekends and stuff are super popular. So
sure.
A lot of those trips that we post. post, you know, maybe next week we'll be full, you know, hopefully pretty quick. But typically, you know, we start getting reservations for next year, you know, within the next few weeks.
That's awesome. Well, Corey, the phone lines are absolutely packed solid. Every single phone line full. Why don't we jump into them?
Let's do it. How about Tom? Tom Cohn from Temecula. Good morning, Tom.
What's up, Tom?
Morning, guys. I got a simple question, perhaps. When you pull up onto a either a former kelp patty or just a sonar mark, what's the best way to determine whether you're going to grab a live bait or a jig getting in the water? I know you can get in the water quickly with a jig when everybody else is piled up around the bait tank. You know, I've caught fish both ways, and what's your thoughts?
I think that's going to kind of be determined on what's happening around that time, you know. I would say overall in the springtime, if we're fishing, if we're stopping on a school of bluefin in the springtime, it seems like either, you know, you want to be dropping something down in the water column most of the time, you know, whether it's a lure or a sinker, live bait. Seems like springtime, a lot of the time the fish are deeper in the water column to start. And then later on in the year, we do a little bit more fly lining. But that's a little bit difficult question to answer. Overall, I would say that's kind of going to be more on a trip-by-trip basis. And if you're going to go on the boat, you know, the crew will typically tell you, or if you're a subscriber to us, we'll tell you, hey, you know, right now we're getting some slide bites, fishing on the slide where we're fly lining, you know, right off the bat. Or sometimes, fishing a jig right off the bat's good, and then you want to fly line. But that changes so much. There's definitely no answer overall for that.
And
for
so
that
much, it changes during the day.
Yeah. There's times throughout the day, too, you know, where you'll stop on a school and they're not boiling at all, and you're going to want to drop a lure down maybe, and there's times where you stop on a school and they're boiling like crazy and you're going to want to fly line a bait. But that's definitely going to be more like day-by-day basis versus a question that I could answer, you know, overall.
I don't want to keep sounding like your guys' infomercial, but yet again, there's the reason why having you guys put out your information weekly makes that difference. Because, if you're just trying to answer it overall, it's different in the springtime than it might be right now. And there's times when casting a Colt Sniper is the best way to get a bite, and there's other times where fishing a sardine is the best way to get a bite. But having the consistency of what you guys put out your info, you'll know what it was this week.
Yeah, like, for example, yesterday when we're stopping on schools of bluefin, you know, everyone's sliding back 30 to 40-pound fly line baits, whereas, you know, a month on 30 or 40-pound tests, whereas a month ago everyone's sliding back, you know, a 12-ounce sinker with 100-pound. You know, because we're fishing different sized fish, the fish are acting different.
There it is. Well, hey, great phone call, Tom. Thanks very much. How about a text? This is, good morning, guys. I'm heading out tonight on a day and a half charter on board the Liberty. I think we're looking for kelps and school sized tuna. My question is, would you recommend still taking a 100-pound outfit, even though we're not necessarily looking to fish for big ones? It's not easy packing for trips these days without bringing the entire garage. I'd really like your opinion on what rigs to take on a day and a half trip leaving tonight. That's from Waylon and Dana Point.
I would say more than likely, if you leave it on day and a half tonight, you're going to be fishing for yellowtail on kelps, which, by the way, have been really nice grade of fish, not typical small fish. You know, we have had really nice grade of fish on kelps. And there's also been, like, school-sized bluefin around 20 to 30, 35-pound bluefin, I'd say, is most likely what you're going to be fishing for. However, what I tell everybody is, you know, nowadays, anytime you're leaving the dock, you should have at least one outfit that you can fish at night with, because, you know, it changes so much, you know, throughout the trip. You might not be fishing tonight, but, you know, some fish might pop up somewhere tomorrow throughout the day, and then, you know, tomorrow night on your way back in from your trip, you might be fishing for half the night for fish. So, you know, if I were going out tonight on day and a half, would I bring all three of my nighttime, you know, rods to fish bluefin? No, probably not, but I'm going to have one rigged up when we leave the harbor, that's for sure.
That pen fishing that you guys had early in the year was 30 miles from home, and there were 250-pounders being caught. They're just, and that fishing can have peaks and valleys where it happens real good, and then it falls off, and it happens again. There's too much big fish in our area for you to, and if you made the investment in that piece of gear, you have to bring that.
Yeah, it's better to have it and not need it than need it and not have it. That's for sure.
You're on a big 100%. The Liberty's a big boat and has plenty of room. There's some storage up top. You're self-conscious and you just want to keep the rod up top and out of the way. I'm sure the guys would do that for you too. Whatever it is.
There's plenty of room up top.
Yeah, you gotta bring that thing. But a good call for sure. Hey, speaking of good fishing out there, we got Pete on the line coming to us live from our Let's Talk Hookup trip on board the Royal Star. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, Pete.
Concepts, gentlemen. It sounded great, by the way. I'm listening to it aboard here. The Thrill Stars are 4-day Let's Cook Up trip, and Trim at the helm, and Alex too, and so far we cruised back up here. We're improved from what was yesterday, so, and it's supposed to be better and better every day we're out here through Wednesday morning. And fish a book, the yellowtail aboard off of Kel, and Ronald.
Pete, I'm going to step in. Unfortunately, we're just not quite catching you the way we'd like to. Maybe the boat's going a different direction. We're kind of maybe catching a little piece of every third word there. But it sounds like you're having some good kelp fishing. The boys were just talking about that. You know, the grade of that yellowtail is nice. So we're going to sign off for a quick step. Hopefully, we can reconnect and maybe get you a little better there. But glad to hear that the trip's off to a great start. And I'm sure there's no doubt those guys are catching them. Probably just the wrong direction for the satellite to catch them just
Dude,
right. But
you mentioned it. The yellows, man. They've been incredible this year, right, on the kelps?
Yeah, like, really nice grain. Really nice grain. Very fun.
That's great to see. You know, there's years that just, you know, you get what's given. You know what I mean? Like, you don't always get a chance to choose, but nice to see that there's some real ones that you don't cringe poking a hole in one of those things.
Yeah, we've had... We saw this, 2 years ago? 2 years ago, the same kind of grade where, you know, we're coming out and like, hey guys, you know, we're going to fish, we're going to be fishing yellowtail and kelps, and you see a couple long faces, oh man. And then we stop on a kelp, and, you know, everyone, they're nice.
You're getting smoked.
Screaming at each other and, taking pictures of them, and oh man, I didn't know it was like this. You know, it's not your typical, you know, standard small fish on you know, they're nice grade fish. They're getting you in the kelp, they're taking line, you know, it's good, fun fishing.
That's some firework fishing, too, when, you know, just, it can quickly go from zero to everybody's got one on.
Oh, man. You would have liked to see us the other day. It was pretty hectic.
Yeah. The San Diego is a specialist in that, too, of just, yeah. You know, you gotta wait till the opportunity comes. And, boy, you guys are able to take pretty wild advantage.
Yeah, we have anglers from all skill levels, and it can get interesting sometimes, but we make it happen.
That's really cool. Well, again, hopefully we'll get a reconnect with Pete, and we'll get a little farther on with that catcher, or we'll get a little farther on with the report there. But in the meantime, we have one single phone line open up. First time we've had an open line since the beginning of the show. It's 213-432-1090. Let's jump back into it, Corey.
Let's do it. How about Baja Ben calling from Chula Vista? Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, guys. How you doing? Wondering if you guys can go over a little bit more of how you guys are hooking that sardine on that brawler rig. Like, I try to use it, you know, a lot, and I just seem to, the sardine just seems to, you know, fall off. Are you guys opening the mouth? Are just going through the roof of the mouth? Or, you know, can you just kind of touch on that, since we were talking about that a lot earlier in the show?
So there's two ways to hook them. Both of them are through the lips. The standard way is go through the lower jaw up through the tip of the nose, just like you'd nose hook an anchovy, where you'd close the mouth, come up through the V in the chin of the bait, and up through the tip of the nose. That's the standard. But there's a lot of guys who struggle with that. I don't know about having the bait fall off, but the guys tend to, like, break the necks of the sardine when they're doing that. A little rough with the bait there. If they're struggling with that, the best way to do it is just put the hook through the upper tip of the nose there, through the mouth, open the mouth, up through the tip of the nose, and we've had bites like that as well.
That surprises me, because it I'd almost want the mouth pinned shut to be able to get it down easier, but
the standard way is to pin the mouth shut.
Yeah.
But guys struggle with it, obviously, and that's another option.
Got it. That's great info. There you go, Ben. Appreciate the call very much. We're going to head back to the Royal Star. Pete, we got you back on the line there.
Yeah, you got me now, Rick.
Loud and clear. Yeah, we were excited to hear, and it sounded like you were talking about some good fishing. We just weren't quite catching you there, but yeah, sounds loud and clear and perfect now.
All right, sounds good. Yeah, I was up on the bridge with Captain Tim Atcher, and he said, go down below in the galley. I'm down in the galley with the Royal Star now. It sounds much better. He says connection's better on the Starlink down here. But yeah, so we certainly improved weather from yesterday. It's not flat calm yet, but it's supposed to get that way tomorrow, and we're looking forward to that. But it's still very, very fishable, very nice weather here. We're down about 100 miles south of San Diego doing the kelping thing like the boys were just talking about. And just hit our first kelp for a couple of small yellows and a 147-pound opa. How about that?
Hey, yeah,
that's
140,
worth it.
That's a nice one.
Yeah, and on a surface iron on a bass rod, believe it or not, right?
Of course.
I don't believe it.
Of course it was.
Needless to say, it was a long battle, but it was pretty fun, epic watching that happen. But yeah, so we're searching for another help. There was another boat down here that just had a big, big hit on nice kelp in the same area that we're in. So plan on this trip from Captain Tim Ekstrom and Alex is that we're going to work this area today, and then as the weather comes down up north, we're going to go work for that northern sector of that bluefin tuna. Hope that pops back up. And then we're back at the landing on Wednesday. So that's the plan right now, and I'll have the full report for you when I get back on the show next Saturday. But in the meantime, I just wanted to give you a quick report from on the water here on Let's Talk Hookup 4 Day. We gave away a bunch of great prizes yesterday from AFCO, Shimano, and the Gamakatsu hooks for everybody. And so everybody's having a good time. It's a great group of people. And needless to say, as you know, on the Royal Show, we're eating very well.
Yeah, no doubt about that. Well, man, sounds like a fun one, Pete. Glad to hear you guys are already off to a great start. And sounds like today's just going to continue getting better. And just like you said, we'll look forward to the wrap-up when you guys get back. Appreciate the check. Glad to hear things are great aboard the Royal Star. And we'll talk to you next Saturday.
Sounds great. All right, you guys have a great show. I'm listening here on the app. So keep it up.
Right on. Thanks, Pete. Appreciate that very much.
It's just nice to know the bite didn't shut off with them going out, right? Good times.
Well, we'll confirm that in three more days.
In a couple more days.
Well, the opas are biting.
Right? All we need is a bass rod and some surface irons. Well, certainly some good stuff going on and some good fishing to be had. It's time for that FishDope.com report, Corey.
Oh, and it's brought to us by Summit Gasoline at the San Diego Sports Arena. That's the place to fill up your car, truck, boat with the lowest gas and diesel prices. Did you know Summit is the only place to get the lowest price on the ice and snacks for your trip, and 25 cents for your first 5-pound bag of ice, or what is that, $3.90 for 25 pounds?
Get out of here.
And you get as much as you want, right? So it's kind of cool. That's half the price of others, plus you get 100 pounds. This is what I dig, 100 pounds of free ice for your 35-gallon fill-up. I mean, that's pretty easy to do, really, if you're filling up your boat and get nice, right? Kirkland products at the lower prices in the store that makes them dozens of great snacks and just 89 cents and much more. And Summit Gasoline is there for Let's Talk Hookup listeners. Always free ice and always the best prices on gas in town is Summit Gasoline at San Diego Sports.
If you've got a skiff on a trailer, you'd be crazy not to go there. The fuel cheaper than everywhere else. They give you 100 pounds of ice for free. It's
ridiculous.
Yeah, it's pretty awesome.
And I mean, a little insider thing, like if I only put 20 gallons in the boat, I could put 15 gallons in the truck. I'm getting 100 pounds of free ice.
100 pounds free ice, not a bad
deal.
Bring it on. No doubt about that. Well, hey, with our FishDope.com report, we got the man, our angler's realtor visit from Yosef Hassani. Good morning, Yosef. What's going on this morning?
Good morning, guys. How are we doing today?
We're doing good. How's the angler's realtor doing?
Hanging in there. Another day. So we're going to start. We're going to start with some kind of down news. We got some wind coming. There's a gale warning this evening. But the sea bass have been biting up north pretty darn good. Out of Santa Rosa, they were biting really well over near Eagle's Nest. In Santa Barbara, there's been sea bass on the backside of Santa Barbara Island. Santa Monica Bay, there is squid at the tanker buoy. There's been some really good sand bass fishing in that area. Danny was telling me about San Clemente. There is squid between the runway kelp and the dunes area. And the sea bass fishing was really good before the sun was coming up. Over on Catalina, the carnage is over there, has squid for sale. The bass and bonita have been biting on the front side, not so much with the sea bass and the yellowtail. They have been biting on the backside, though. The Coronados have been biting really well, as everybody knows, for, let's say, the past 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks. Water rolled last night. Went from 70 degrees down to 63 degrees, so you're going to see a little bit of shutoff probably over there until that temp comes back up. There is a little bit of yellowfin up in the Orange County area, like 238, that one of our fish dope reporters spotted yesterday. A little bit of yellowtail in the same area, 14 Mile Bank area, up in that region. Offshore, the bluefin fishing has been a little slower, but it's still there. They're still biting, just not as well as it was chewing. And that's it from Fish Dope and Sportsman's Realty.
Man, we'll take that. And certainly, again, one of the reasons we love hearing the reports in July, great fishing up and down the beach. And some of that sea bass and calico bass fishing up some of those northern islands sounds really fun.
Sounds like it's holding up, man. That's for sure.
Yeah, we'll certainly take that. Well, if you want to get a new membership to fishdope.com, save $30. You can use the code HOOKUPNOW, all lowercase, no space, saves you $30. And if you want the best real estate advice and, you know, just keeping track with what's going on in the market and help with your place, how do we contact you with the Angler's Realtor?
You can get me at sportsmansrealty.com, on my cell at 619-277-2169, and on social media at Cal Realty.
Awesome. Great job, Joseph. Appreciate it very much, and we'll look forward to talking to you next week.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
All right. Appreciate that. Well, that's going to wrap up our catch report. Again, sponsored by the Fish Pros at Fisherman's Processing in San Diego, where you get the premier processing experience. Check out the brand new and easier online system to book your processing for your long-range trips. Now with the addition of new team members, Fisherman's Processing stays far ahead of the rest. More same-day capacity, the finest customer service. Stop by their location in Old Town on Taylor Street, or check fishermansprocessing.com, and be sure to make those reservations today. Corey, let's jump back into those phones.
Let's do it. How about Jim? Jim calling from National City. Good morning, Jim.
What's up, Jim?
Hey, good morning, guys. Yesterday show. A couple of things. A few years back, Booger shot me one time. Don't go by the fish count. He goes, that thing changes every day. He goes, pick a good weather day and go fishing. And I found that to be so true. But what I wanted to ask Matt and Gavin is, how's the best way to join your setup? What's the best way of going about to join your website?
The easiest way to do it is if you could just Google Captain's Concepts. And if you Google Captain's Concepts, the first thing that pops up, it will be on the platform, which is called Patreon. And you'll make a Patreon account, and it'll take you right to us, Captain's Concepts. Pretty easy to find. We're also on Instagram. If you have Instagram, you can find us on there. And we have a link that's right in on our profile on Instagram that'll take you right directly to it. It's pretty easy to find if you just Google it. I believe it's the very first thing that pops up on Google.
That Patreon platform is very easy to use, too, like for the consumer like myself. You know, the layout's easy. Getting a hold of you guys is easy. Seeing all the past videos is easy. It's just it was a good choice to host
it's a good,
all your info.
Good setup for the user and the people creating stuff. Yeah.
And I'm sure takes you know, because, I mean, we've had people talk to us all the time. Well, you know, I really like those guys. Why don't they just have a direct website? We love it. Like, it seems like Patreon makes your life easy and ours, and, you know, your full-time job is making sure that we're on fish all the time, so getting a platform that's easy for you to get your content to us was, I'm sure, really important.
Yeah, the boat definitely comes first, so having an easier way to upload videos and contact our users is huge for
us. Yeah, exactly. You don't need to worry about the website part of it. They worry about that. You just get the video to us, and we keep rolling with it.
Yep, a direct line.
That's cool. Hey, great job, as always, Jim. Appreciate the phone call very much. Another fun text came through. Guys, what a great show. Gavin, my question is for you. Last February, I won I think it might be for Matt, but I won a full-day trip on board the San Diego on Let's Talk Hookup, fishing out of Seaforth on a one-day. My question is, how does it work with fish processing on the smaller side of fish when we're catching yellowtail and school-sized fish, but also on the real big bluefin? Is filleting done on the boat? Are there processors there when the boat gets back in the evening and return? Also, I heard you comment about signing up for a trip. I'll definitely be doing that in the next couple of days. That's all from Paul in Fountain Valley.
So processing, we fillet them on the boat if you want it done there. If you wanted to go through the processors like Five Star or Fisherman's, you'd have to make a reservation. But the boys do an excellent job on the boat. If you have school-sized fish, they do it on the way in. We even fillet 200-pounders on a regular basis, too. So either way,
you'll make it work.
Yeah, we'll make it. We'll figure it out.
Yep. If you want processing, that's something that you need to work on your own, but it's very doable. But if you wanted to step off that boat with fillets ready to roll, you guys will take care of that.
Exactly. And there's plenty of services that will meet us at the dock. You just have to make prior arrangements.
Mm-hmm. And how about on the Pacific Queen? How does fish processing go with you guys?
I would say 90% of our fish come off the boat whole. Now we don't do too much filleting on board. Main reason, or a couple different reasons for that. First off, we have we do a lot of night fishing now. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So we have to have, instead of the crew at night filleting fish, now we're actively fishing at night, you know what I mean? And if the boat's not actively fishing, then typically we need to sleep at some point, you know? So we don't do too much of that on board. Plus, it just seems like a lot of our people would prefer to go to a processor, you know? They can, just the fishing game rules that are around now, like we can't put out like a super good product like we would like to do. So just being able to take your fish to a processor and you know, when you get it back from them, just be able to thaw it out and eat it is nice, you know? So most of our fish go to one of the processors. Occasionally we'll fillet a little bit of fish on the boat, but not very often.
A lot of the fish that you're targeting are just larger than makes for convenience on the boat. You know, like you said, the way the regulations are written, it's not easy for you guys to break down a bunch of big fish and having them contained in the same bag and, you know, all the loins being in whole. I mean, you guys have had tremendous success fishing big fish, and you can't do Ziplocs with all that all the time.
Yeah, so like we, on our boat, we don't even offer fillet service to fish over like 60 pounds. We just won't do it.
And, because the right way to handle it is back of the dock.
Yeah, because, you know, for the fish and game rules, you're supposed to have the entire fish, the collar, the belly, all in one bag. You know, put a 200-pound fish in a bag is pretty difficult to put out a decent product, you know, so we don't do too much of that anymore.
And you guys have got an inside track to get a processor down to your boat, so.
Yeah, you know, and you know, a lot of our people that come on our boat, they're booking their trip a year in advance, they're booking their processing a year in advance, and, you know, we got a little in with a processor that'll take our fish most of the time, all the time.
No doubt about that. Well, hey, great text and a great call as well. Corey, let's jump back into the phones.
Let's do it, Rick. How about Alex? Alex calling from Corona. Good morning. Welcome to the Stock Hookup, Alex.
What's up, Alex?
How you doing, fellas? The potter's outside right now, isn't it?
that it is. Summertime and landings are busy. Yeah. It's just all a sign of summertime here in SoCal. Yeah, Alex, good morning.
We'll take it. What's up, buddy?
That's right. That's right. Good fishing, man. That's what the heat always reminds me of, good fishing. Hey, I got a question in regards to how the boats are going off right now. Is Mexico still part of the equation as far as our local boats go, or are guys basically just fishing American waters these days? And also, I landed a 100-pound fish last year with a perfect setup like Rock Cod was talking about. That's Calica 10, and I had a nice Phoenix rod to go with it. Yeah, 40-pound top shot, 100 foot of 40-pound top shot, landed that fish real nice, and just the stretch worked great, and the fishing was real good. So just if you can answer that one question about the local boats, that'd be great. Thanks, fellas.
We do a lot of fishing in Mexico. I would say Matt probably fishes Mexico a little bit more often than I do, because it seems like the last couple of years the trend is the bigger bluefin have been out in U.S. waters, out Clemente or some of the Outer Banks. But like, you know, I've spent the last two or three trips that I've ran the Pacific Queen, we've been in Mexico, and Matt's been in Mexico probably majority of the trips this year. Yeah, so we fish Mexico a lot, and as the whole fleet, from full day boats to, you know, a long trip, everyone fishes. We still fish Mexico a lot.
There is more paperwork that's involved in fishing Mexico, but fortunately, whether you're going out of C4 sport fishing or at a fisherman's landing or any of the great landing city, everything's taken care of for you.
Yeah,
you
just super easy.
Show up with your passport, go fishing. And in the case of offshore fishing, you don't even need to worry about that part.
For more often than not, you don't need your passport. If we're fishing the Coronado Islands, you need it. If not, we'll let you know.
As far as I'm concerned, if you're an adult and you like fishing in salt water, you do need to have that. You got to have a passport.
Adult, in general.
Even if you're not an adult.
You got
to
have it.
Like our last trip, we were fortunate to where everyone had passports. We were able to get in on some of that good Coronado Island fishing. We had three children on board. Everybody had it. Yeah. You know? So it's a good thing to have to open up your options. You know?
Yep, that's a great point. Yeah, you don't want to be handcuffed to not being able to slide the, you know, wherever you're fishing, and the opportunity provides itself that if we slide in close to the beach, we might be able to get in some great yellowtail this afternoon. You always want to have that option. And if the passports aren't around, that's just not a thing.
Just go get a passport.
Just go get it. Yeah, exactly. And it's not that hard. We're done talking about it. Go get one.
And when you do, get the for an extra $20 or whatever it is, get the card.
Yeah.
Because the card's good.
Yeah. I keep the card in my wallet and password in my house.
You're safe.
There it
you
is.
Never don't have it.
Totally. All right. Hey, we're going to be right back. The boys from Captain's Concept. steps. I'm ready to turn on the Let's Talk Hookup app, the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
The fish are biting and it's time to go. Hi, this is Ben, and you will see me at my dad's shop, Dana Landing in Mission Bay, or maybe in front of the shop on my kayak. It doesn't matter if you are out there on a kayak with me, on your boat, headed out on a sport boat. Dana Landing has everything you need. We call it the one-stop shop for a great day on the water, because it truly is. Food, bait, tackle, beverages, and more. Our tackle shop, headed by John, is certainly one of the best. For freshwater tackle, nothing beats East County Bait and Tackle. These guys have the best rods and reels and the hottest lures and live bait. Our newest shop is Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, with a great stock of both fresh and saltwater tackle right in the heart of Lemon Grove. ECBT is at the end of the 67 freeway on Maple View and Lakeside. Lemon Grove Bait and Tackle, 94 to Broadway in Lemon Grove, and Dana Landing is next to the Dana Lawn Tramp in Mission Bay. Check out danalanding.com for more details.
Everyone has their go-to fishing spot. My spot is Kingfisher Charters in Sitka, Alaska. Rockcod Rick here to say if you're looking for the ultimate Alaska experience and the best value in Alaska, it's Kingfisher Charters. Owner Seth Bone and his crew consistently deliver deluxe accommodations, the finest food, world-class fish processing, and top-of-the-line fishing experience. We've literally sent hundreds of our listeners to Kingfisher, and they all can't wait to go back. Most Alaska resorts make big promises, and they don't deliver, or they'll nickel and dime you to drive up the cost, but not Kingfisher. Everything is included. Your license, fish processing, super deluxe accommodations, amazing food, airport transfers, your gear, literally all you need to bring is your layer clothing, and Kingfisher covers the rest. They also have the finest boats and charter captains in Sitka, all for the ultimate value. Take it from me. Book your trip to Kingfisher Charters and you'll thank me. Kingfisher Charters, 800-727-6136, or check kingfishercharters.com.
Hey, this is Rosie with Cedros Sport Fishing. We have always been the leader in fishing trips to Cedros Island. We have set the bar even higher with our second lodge opening for the 2022 season. Side-by-side lodges sitting on the cliff's edge with relaxing ocean views. With direct flights departing through the CBX in San Diego, we are committed to providing first-class service to our guests and an unforgettable fishing experience. Come check out the yellowtail and calico bass capital in the world. Nobody does it better than Cedros Sport Fishing. Call me at 619-772-7570 or check us out at cedrosportfishing.com.
For quality, the Islander out of Fisherman's Landing is a favorite among anglers. But Islander Charters is much more than great fishing. The quality of the captains and crew, as well as the great meals and service, speak for themselves. Comfortable staterooms, a super clean and well taken care of boat, are just a few of the reasons the Islander is so popular. The Islander specializes in 1.5 to 5 day fishing. Experience the Islander difference. Visit IslanderSportFishing.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hook Up, and having so much fun in studio, Rick, and learning so much. And these guys, I think I've learned enough. And hey, you want to join us? 213-432-1090. I'd love all the information that Matt shares and on the water on a daily basis. I know we talk about, like, your sport boat passengers, but man, I've already mentioned it, man. For a private boater, it's a no-brainer, man. I want to know what the hell you guys are doing.
I'm a skiff guy, and I'm a subscriber myself. I think it's great info, and why would you not want every single piece of information that you go out there with? I'm around this every day. I get lucky enough to get to see Gavin when he comes off the boat every time, and we're always getting from him. Why wouldn't you want every single piece of info you can get, whatever you're doing?
And not to use to know where Matt's fishing 30 miles from the harbor, but to know what the fish are doing at that point in time. Are they up foaming? Are they down deep? Or, you know, I mean, it's for me as a private boater, it's a no-brainer.
Yeah, totally. How to read the situation. Yeah.
I want to talk again about the tungsten thing, and we covered it a little bit, but right now, today, that's like the most popular thing. Every day in the tackle store, we're either sold out of them, or we get a little batch of those jigs, and it's like a feverish pace. Everybody wants to get a hold of that thing, and that's something that you guys brought to light over a year ago. What is it about? And, you know, it's like a hot topic right now, so people are always asking about it. Like, what is a tungsten jig, and why was that something that came into favor that you saw and thought, hey, this is is something that's a little different that should have some light spread on it.
So the tungsten allows you to have a smaller lure. It's a denser lure. So a 180-gram tungsten jig is the same size as like an 80-gram jig.
Like an 80-gram Colt Sniper, but it weighs
is
double the amount.
And they sink super fast. And for us, the way we started using it, we started talking about them because we were looking at them online, and we were like, oh, we're going to be able to cast a small lure really far for foamers.
And you're a freshwater bass guy, of which tungsten is very popular in that world.
Yeah, I had a tungsten weight on my line yesterday. And it's denser, you could feel it better, but there's not many saltwater lures with it. And we noticed there was some with one of our passengers who's kind of a tackle tweaker like me, and we were looking at them online, and he's like, oh, we can cast this really far in foamers. And I didn't really like how fast it sank. Like in foamers, you kind of want to keep your lure up high, and sometimes you can wind them fast, but whole different story there. But we were fishing them. We got some of the 180 grams. I tied one on. I was like, whoa, this thing sinks crazy fast. And that eddy bomb thing was happening at night, and I was like, well, those fish are just blasting through the boat. What if we use something that is similar to that during the day? And fishing the sinker, tying the sinker on for me is just like something I don't think I will ever do.
You can't.
Just because it just, no, I can't tie something on like that.
You're too much of a tackle. You said it best. You're too much of a tackle tweaker.
Yeah, that's
just with a sinker.
It goes against all my power there. Okay. But that tungsten sinks fast. It flutters pretty good, too, and it looks fishy.
Yeah.
So we started fishing that when the fish were almost impossible to catch, and we started getting bites, and it was some of the days. There was a couple of days where we caught one fish that day, and they were on a tungsten jig,
right,
up to 170 pounds. So
crazy.
We had a stop this year, one of our Togashi trips, which is known for like a very good fisherman,
a bunch of killers.
Yeah, they're already good fishermen, and a lot of them are subscribed as well, you know, to try and become better. And we were on a stop at night where we had a good school of like those 130 pounders sticking to the boat, but we were struggling to hook them, you know, and these are good fishermen, you know, and we started getting guys fishing those small lures at night, and we started getting a couple bites, and by the time we got everybody switched over to it, it was like, we went from like a school stuck to the boat, fighting one fish, to like on the ropes, and we caught like 25 of those big ones out of one stop, and I bet you 3/4 of them were on those that exact lure, that tungsten lure.
On the tungsten.
Yeah, we would not have caught that much fish without
that.
Because we had, like I said, we had a boat full of killers fishing your typical nighttime stuff, not catching anything. And then we started switching guys over, and you know, everyone had them in their tackle box, fortunately, because they're subscribers. They already had them on the boat. Yeah, so guys started fishing them just like how we talk about fishing them, and we ended up putting like an insane stop on big ones, just all in one stop. It was pretty wild to see.
And that might not be the same, you know, that just because, you know, some great fishing that you had, that doesn't mean it's the end-all, be-all for everything, but that scenario that you guys were in, that was the difference.
Yeah, exactly. And like, those tungsten lures, just because the metal are expensive,
it's an expensive lure,
but you know, like I was talking to the guys on the trip, they're like, dude, I just caught two fish over 100 pounds this stop on this lure, and I still have it. It's like, that is 100% paid for itself. I would not have caught these two fish.
And they weren't catching nothing.
Right.
I would not have caught this fish unless I had this lure in my
tackle box. That was the reason.
Yes, exactly.
And then, like you say, though, I mean, it is an investment. I mean, those things are 60, sometimes, you know, they range from 30 to 100 bucks. That's a lot of money to be spending on a lure. But if it makes the difference...
It's a lot of money to spend on a trip and not catch anything.
That's... How do you say it better than that?
I mean, the days where we got unskunked, we caught nothing. We were stopping a bunch, and we caught one or two fish, and they were both on that. And it's just like that. How could you argue with that?
That's just another thing that I'm just so proud of your guys' information sources. You brought it's the hottest thing in the world right now. Your guys have been on that for a year.
Probably 2 years.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome.
So crazy.
Yep.
If somebody's listening to all this conversation and wants to become a subscriber or a member of Captain's Concepts, I mean, is it... They don't have to join for 6 months. They don't have to. I mean, if I wanted to go on there and just view your 170 current videos, let alone what's going to come out tomorrow, right? I mean, or this evening, could I just go on for the month? And
yeah, definitely. Yeah, there's a lot of guys. We see a lot of guys get on and off. And, like, if you're going on a trip, you sign up
stay on for the summer, go off for the winter, whatever.
Exactly. Or if you want a deal, we give you 10% off if you sign up for the year.
I just do the yearly. I think it's just the easier thing.
It get it done.
Dings your card. You don't worry about it. And the winter time is cool, too, because you guys are sometimes fishing less, but you have a more opportunity to break down gear and tackle and technique. And you don't have, you know, a 20-minute window to get something done. You've got the time to really dive deep into tackle and technique and all the other stuff.
And we started talking about other kinds of fishing, too.
Right.
I made a video, a pretty long one, about Sea Cortez fishing, Cabrilla fishing. So we're going to start doing more.
Branch out.
Yeah.
I like
How cool
it.
Is that? And
yeah.
It's not, again, it's not secondhand. It's firsthand. It's what you guys are doing, not only on the boat, but in your leisure time.
Yeah, exactly.
We actually, it's funny that Matt was talking about going down to Bay of LA, you know, and I went with him this year, and I was like, hey, what are those lures you were talking about? You know, but even me, and I bought them, and we actually left some with the Ponga guy down there, and he messaged me. He's like, dude, these are the my...
How did you get this?
He's been fishing there his whole life, and he's like, dude, this is my favorite lure to fish now down there, you know, so that's
awesome.
That's been pretty cool, too.
And that you get all that as a subscriber.
Yeah. Exactly. Another thing, touching on the videos and staying online or staying with us all the time is that, like, I've had multiple people come up to me, and you know, and they're like, hey, you know, like, I'll jump on there and I'll check the last 2-3 videos to see what's going on, you know, but when I'm bored and I got nothing going on, instead of, you know, randomly scrolling through Instagram looking at nothing, he's like, I just looked right now, we have 172 videos online. So if you, between all those videos, reading all the comments of people going back and forth about things, like, there's so much content on there that you
totally.
Could spend hours of your time in the off season or whenever just going through that and absorbing all that information, you know, and you might find a little something on there that will help you on it in some sort of situation.
Totally. Yeah, instead of, yeah, if you're just looking for a time waster, why not waste your time with something that's going to make you a better fisherman?
Yeah, exactly.
Cool. Well, hey, another great text came through. Good morning, guys. It says, it's no secret that I'm a huge fan of Captain's Concepts. I fish with these guys as much as I can, and the education that they provide is as good as it gets. I'm heading out again with Gavin a week from tonight. My question for the boys is, can you guys talk through fishing a kelp paddy from both of your boats? Should you cast close to the kelp? Should you cast early on the bow and walk your bait down? What do you see that works best to avoid tangles and catch fish? See you next week, Corey in Escondido.
If you want to be in a tangle, run up to the bow and cast first. Those guys might hook up first, but they are almost always in a tangle. The kelp is a habitat, not a target. Sometimes there's like one fish on a kelp and the guy who casts first gets a bite. But if there's a school on the kelp, if you've spent any time in a bucket and you've pulled up like in a tuna tower or on the roof of a boat and you pulled up to a kelp and looked in the water, every time we stop on the kelp, those fish rush the stern. What I do is, if I was fishing on a kelp, I'm waiting for all those guys up the side to cast at the kelp, and I'm just a slide of bait right off the back, right on the downwind corner. And sometimes the guys are chumming. If they're chumming, those fish are going straight to the chum, so I'm casting right there.
You're waiting for the mayhem to ensue, and then you're going to the clean side
of
the boat?
I'm generally starting with heavier line. Most of the time, I see a lot of guys, especially those guys who run up to the bow or cast their cold sniper right in the middle of the kelp, they're usually fishing light line, and they're just going to lose the fish. It's just a waste of an opportunity.
I've seen it like more times than I can count that there's the guy on the bow, we drive to the kelp, he casts, either snags the kelp and spends the next 10 minutes trying to get out of the kelp, or he hooks a fish right next to the kelp and, you know, yellowtail just swim right back into the kelp, and now he's spending the next 10 minutes trying to get his fish out of the kelp, you know. The guy that was patient, maybe drinking a beer in the galley that walked out, oh, you know, we're stopping, and pitched his bait right off the stern, like that guy's usually doing the best.
Yeah, the Ren Rotter has two off the stern, and the guy is still pulling on the kelp.
There it is. That's great info, and I know Corey always speaks so highly of Captain's Concepts, a loyal subscriber for sure. And there you go. Great info again. Corey, let's jump back into the phones.
Let's do it. How about Sam? Sam calling from Irvine. Good morning, Sam.
Good morning. Glad I made it on. Hey, I've been trying to get on the San Diego, but it is booked up. I got on the Sea Watch for next week, and I see the... They're catching a lot of yellowtail. Is it worth bringing a 100-pound rig? Or what are the hot outfits for the day trips right now?
So for the most part, we've been just fly lining. 30 and 40-pound is what I've been recommending. A 30-pound for the kelp or a long plunker drift, and a 40-pound for when the fish are biting good and the beginning of a stop on tuna. Generally, the fish are the most aggressive in the beginning, so you can get away with that 40-pound. And if you're in a long extended drift, you can drop down to 30-pound. 100-pound. Probably don't need it anymore. I'm going to say that, and we're probably going to need it next week. But I would say leave the 100-pound at home for this kind of fishing. But if you have, like, a little heavier rod, 50, 60, or even an 80-pound rod, we've had some bites on sinker rigs, lighter finesse sinker rigs, or Colt Snipers, 80 to 120-gram Colt Sniper Zacana jig or flat fall.
What's your favorite heavy rig right now? If you could, that one kind of heavier outfit that you're describing that you'd fish a sinker or a lure with right now, what would that be?
For me, it's like a Fathom 40 or a Talica 20. 80-pound Spectra with a... For me, when I'm sinker rig fishing or fishing like a Colt Sniper or something or that tungsten jig, I like a little bit longer fluorocarbon leader. I'm usually fishing like 30 or 40 feet of fluorocarbon. And I know that sounds a lot, but if you're fishing sunline, you can kind of get away with that because those spools are a little bit longer. I just feel like you get more bites with a little bit longer leader, and you can get away with it when you're fishing a heavier jig or a sinker.
That's cool. Yeah, that rig change for you at all, Gavin?
No, basically the same thing. Yeah, that's same awesome. Thing.
Good info. Hey, appreciate that very much. Great text came through. Good morning, gents. I had so much fun the last time you guys were on the show hearing about something I had never heard of before, and it was the ebbing rig. Has there been any success with that this year? That's from Daniel in Santa Barbara.
I've been trying it lately. I've had one bite the other day, and I don't know what I hooked. I thought it was a bluefin. I handed it to a passenger. It was the typical bluefin bite. I dropped it down. There was a little bit of fish around the boat. It was kind of slowing down. I dropped it down, did a couple pumps, and went to go sink it again. Felt like I got a bite on the sink. Felt like a bluefin on the end of my rod. Handed it to a passenger. Walked down to see what's going on in the stern. I come back up, and I watched my 450-foot mark come off my reel, and I got bit at like 120 feet.
Wow.
No kidding.
Never stopped the fish.
Really?
I don't know what it was. It could have been a tuna that got eaten by something. We did hook a few marlins like right before that, but that fish never jumped. Didn't feel like the marlin because one of the marlins we hooked was on my bait rod.
Right.
And I grabbed that ebbing rig and turned around, and I pulled on that fish for a little bit, and that was probably one of the heaviest fish I've ever pulled on. I don't know what it was.
It was Opa, maybe.
I don't know.
Here. Those guys talk about 150-pounder. Yeah. Sometimes
I think I could have stopped 150-pound Opa.
Yeah, right.
Opa don't pull that hard, I guess.
This was, like, heavy. Yeah.
Huh.
Like, this was heavier than the fish, like, those 200-pounders we were catching on the pens. Yeah, it was, I don't know what it was.
And that ebbing rig, for somebody who's not familiar, very, very, very different.
Very different.
Wire, jig, you know, a teaser fly style piece of plastic, you know, hanging out the end leg.
So you have your, there's an ebbing wire you tie to your line, and you put a vertical jig on it, 150 to 250 gram vertical jig, and have a 15 foot fluorocarbon leader to a circle hook with a specific, like, shrimp plastic, like almost like a fluke style plastic, and you drop it down, and it's supposed to, like, teaser fly kind of deal.
Yeah.
And we've seen it work good for yellowfin, and I keep trying it for bluefin. I've never caught a bluefin on it, and I've heard of bluefin caught on it, but haven't figured it out yet. But it works excellent for yellowfin when they're tough to hook.
Yet again, a different technique that these guys are fishing, becoming familiar. It might not be the deal for out here, but it might become a thing that you switch this way about it, and all of a sudden, boom, we're getting bites all the time. And again, your guys are gonna get your report on that, good, bad, or indifferent.
As soon as I figure out how to do it right, they're gonna know about it.
There they go. That's awesome, boys.
That's some great info.
Pretty cool, Corey.
All right, hey, we're gonna be right back. We're gonna find out who's won this full day trip on the San Diego. Captain Matt, when we return on the Let's Talk About the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Offshore fishing is on. Hi, this is Doug Kern from Fisherman's Landing Tackle, the saltwater tackle professionals. For bluefin tuna and yellowtail, nothing beats the Shimano Talica, the pinnacle of lever drag two-speed reels. Shimano's Speedmaster 2 is also an extremely durable, high-performance lever drag reel for the more budget-minded angler. Both the Talica and Speedmaster 2 feature Shimano's Hagani body to prevent misalignment of moving parts under the heaviest of load. For all your Shimano, visit us at Fisherman's Landing Tackle at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. The name that stands out among anglers is Fisherman's Landing, your top choice in local and long-range fishing. We offer the finest open party trips from 1 to 3 days, the best charter boats available, and of course, our world-renowned long-range fleet. Fisherman's Landing offers half-day trips on the Dolphin and full-day trips on the Liberty. Many trips can be easily booked online at fishermanslanding.com. I'll see you at Fisherman's Landing in San Diego. Go.
It's time for the Power Pro 30-second seminar. I like catching big fish, and I like smaller reels, too. How do I make sure that I have the capacity to land the big one? I fill my reels with Power Pro Max Quattro. It's 25% thinner than standard Power Pro, so you get more line on that small reel. Power Pro has a complete series of highly effective lines, including the brand new Power Pro Depth Hunter Offshore, with different colors every 100 feet. Perfect for flatfall fishing. Want to learn more? Check PowerPro.com.
Hey, San Diego. The Make It Ford Summer Sales Event is on. Visit your San Diego County Ford dealer now through September and make it your best summer yet. Get great offers on the most popular Ford trucks and SUVs. And experience hands-free highway driving technology with Ford Blue Cruise, available on select vehicles. It's the Make It Ford Summer Sales Event, and that means now is the best time to get behind the wheel of your brand new Ford and drive it home today. Only at your San Diego County Ford dealers, they'll be glad to hook you up.
The state-of-the-art long-range sport fishing vessel, the Independence, delivers the top quality, comfort, and fishability you look for in a long-range boat. Veteran captains Mark Pisano and Paul Strasser built this incredible 112-foot vessel with the most modern technology and luxurious comfort available. Once you go on the Independence, you'll be back. Call Independence Sports Fishing at 619-226-6006 or check IndependenceSportFishing.com.
All right, welcome back to Let's Talk Hookup, man. We're doing some learning here, right? I mean, it's
comparing tackle notes.
I know it. I love it. I'm learning.
Yeah,
I'm learning a lot. Hey, and we've only got one lucky winner we have today. It's going to go on to San Diego, and we're going to have Gavin flip the coin. Go for it, Gavin. Honors. It's going to a texter. The texter today is Waylon from Dana Point. Congratulations. Going on to San Diego.
So stoked you have to go fishing with Captain Matt.
All that free parking.
Come on out, yeah. Free parking, baby.
No doubt. Hey, what a great, I mean, again, can't say it enough. Every caller, it seems like, spoke the accolades. Every texter was the same thing, and I know Corey and I feel the same way. I think you guys are offering the best information service available on the water. One more time, give us the rundown if somebody wants to jump on Patreon and be a part of Captain's Concepts.
So like we said before, the easiest way is Google Captain's Concepts. You can find us on Instagram, Captain's Concepts, the same thing. But Google Captain's Concepts will take you to the Patreon, and it'll take you to our Instagram and our Facebook.
Join it for a month. Check it out.
Yeah.
Join it for the year.
Join it for the year and get a discount.
You can sign up for free, and it doesn't give you the content, but it'll tell you when we post stuff and whatever. But if you sign up, it's $25 a month, or like you said, you get 10% off if you sign up for the year, and it's worth it.
Great job, you guys. Well, hey, great job today, and we appreciate you listening. What a fun show this was, and another couple of great ones coming for me next week. And next Saturday, Captain Steve Lasley from Bad Company and Galati Yachts is going to be joining us. And then next Sunday, Bill Varney, surf fishing expert. What a couple of great shows this was. Big thanks to Chris for keeping us on the air, and a big thanks to Adam for keeping us on the app. We'll talk to you next week. It's Let's Talk Hookup, Southern California Sport Fishing Voice, and the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, and the Let's Talk Hookup app.